Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Beitza Daf Beis. We are holding at Beitza Daf Beis of Menal. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and also L'zchus Refuah Shleima for Chana Bas Sheina Mina. She said before Shleima B'soch Shar Chole Yisrael. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. Just a general introduction to the Masech. The Masech's Beitza is not called Masech's Beitza by any of the Rishonim. When the Rishonim referred to this Masechta, they call it Masechta's Yom Tov, which is a more appropriate name for the Masechta, because that's what it's about. It's about Yom Tov. It's not about eggs. It just happens to be that the first word of the Masechta is a Beitza Shenolda, the first phrase, Beitza Shenolda B'Yom Tov. The first word is Beitza, and that's why people call it Beitza. But that's clearly not not the name that the Rishonim use. The Rishonim called the Masechta's Yom Tov. And there are many halachas of Yom Tov that all get discussed in this Masechta. There's halacha of Yom Tov that you're not allowed to do malacha. There's halacha of Yom Tov that there's a mitzvah of simcha. There's a halacha of Yom Tov that you're supposed to have ksus nekiya, and you're supposed to daven specially, you're supposed to be osik b'torah. The Meiri outlines the different topics that appear in this Masechta in his hakdama to the Masechta, and he writes that there are essentially five topics. The first topic is the Isser Malacha on Yom Tov. How the Isser Malacha on Yom Tov parallels the Isser Malacha of Shabbos, with the exception of Ochal Nefesh, meaning that's a pasuk in the Torah. So we're going to explain what exactly the geder of Ochal Nefesh is. What's included in that, that you're allowed to do on Yom Tov, that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. Then the second topic is those malachas that are mutar on Yom Tov, even though they're asur on Shabbos, and we're going to explain how they're done, how one does those malachos. Then the third is, sometimes there's an isra on certain types of food because of an isra muktzo or an isra nolad. So we're going to explain what needs hachana, may Erev Yom Tov, to not have an isra nolad or an isra muktzo. Fourth, the proper way to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos, if Shabbos goes up against a Yom Tov, the Isra Hachana from Yom Tov to another Yom Tov and from Yom Tov to Shabbos, and the differences between Yom Tov Rishon and Yom Tov Sheni. And finally, it's going to discuss the dinim of Eruvei Tchumin, which objects are considered like the Raglei Abaylim, that you're allowed to take them to wherever you go, and which objects have their own Tchum, and then you're not allowed to take them wherever you go. Now, you may have heard this Masechta referred to not only as Maseches Yom Tov by the Rishonim and Maseches Beitza by some people, but also as Maseches Beya by other people. So where does that come from, that it's called Beya? So the Yom Shel Shlomo in the fourth parak of Maseches Baba Kama, and Simon Yeralef writes that he was Mekabel from Rishonim that they were careful in the Gemara not to say the word Beitzim. Instead, they would say the word Beim, because you have to be careful that every single word you say is b'lashon nekiya, and to say beitzim is not such a lashon nekiya, so they said beim instead in the Aramaic form, in order that it should be more of a lashon nekiya. It should be more obvious that the reference is to eggs. And the Tiferes Yisrael on the Mishnayos over here, on the first page of the Achim Boaz Mishnayos, you have a whole discussion about what to call, about how to pronounce the first word of the Masechta. So the Tiferes Yisrael, he says he doesn't see why the word beitza would be a lashon maguna. It's not at all a lashon maguna. And he says, no, there's another reason why people call it Beitza, Beya, not Beitza, based on the Gemara Masech Sanhedrin, that there was a Michshol. The Gemara Sanhedrin, Davheim Beis, tells us that there was a Darshan that came to town once, and he Darshan that may Bitzaim, that may Beitzim are not Machshir LeKabal Tuma. And people didn't know what he meant. They thought he said may Bitzaim are not Machshir LeKabal Tuma. May Bitzaim means swamp water. Now, swamp water is Machshir LeKabal Tuma. It's Machshir fruit to be Mekabal Tuma, just like any other water in the world would be Machshir LeKabal Tuma. But this fellow had Darshan may Beitzim, that like egg whites are not Machshir LeKabal Tuma. He didn't say may Bitzaim, but the whole town misheard him. They all thought he said may Bitzaim. So later on, a different Talmud Chacham came to town and he saw that they were doing everything betuma. Everything was Machshir LeKabal Tuma. They had washed all their fruits with may Bitzaim, assuming that it then can't become Tame, and everything was Tame. So he said, what's going on? They said, oh, well, we had this great scholar, and he told us that May Bitzayim are not Machshir LeKabal Tuma. So that's not what he said. He said May Beitzim, and they got confused between Beitzim and Bitzayim. And from then on, the Gemara says they made a rule that no one's allowed to go around paskening halachos until he gets Rishus. He has to get Rishus from his Rebbeim, and And that's how we have this concept called Yora, Yora, right? So they ask, Yora, can you pass in halachas and nisav eter? Yora. Yadum, can you pass in halachas and dinar? The motivation for giving smicha, the motivation for that idea of Yora, 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 Yadun, was not because there were people that were paskining that weren't qualified to paskin in terms of their knowledge. The original motivation was that there were people that were not good communicators, and they can issue a psak, and no one's going to know what they're talking about with the psak, and they're going to get everything wrong. So they had to take an oral bechina to be able to make sure that you can not only know the psak, but that you can communicate the psak effectively. Now, what happened over there? How did they confuse beitzim to betzayim? So if he said beyim, beyim doesn't even sound like betzayim. They would have gotten confused. It must be that he said beitzim. So that's why, says the Tiferes Yisrael, that's why some pronounce it beya, not beitza, to lafuke any sort of michshol like happened in that situation. Nevertheless, the real word in Hebrew is beitza, and my rebbeim always said beitza. So the chayv adam lomar b'lashon rabba, a person is supposed to say, they would say things the way that the rabbi said it. There are certain words I remember in Shir that Rav Shechter would have to say with an accent, like because he heard it so many times from Rav Salveitchik, because Rav Shechter doesn't have an accent. But there are certain words that would come up that it's just like you could tell it was ringing in his head, you know, Rav Salveitchik's pronunciation. So at the very least, when we're reading Hebrew, so my rebbeim say beitza, so I'll say beitza. So anyway, so that's the basic introduction to the Masechta. What about our daf? On today's daf, we're going to discuss the Mishkan is going to have three different machlokos between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and then the Gemara is going to give the first of four. Rav Nachman is the first of four approaches to the Mishnah, to the explanation of the first machlokas in the Mishnah, that they're arguing about muktza, about how broad a definition of muktza we have. And then the Gemara is going to explain why it is that when Rebbe was writing the Mishnayos, he made the Stam Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos like Rabbi Shimon, and Stam Mishnah Masechta Beitza like Rabbi Yehuda, or the other way around. I think and Rabbi Yehuda Maseches Beitza. So why would he change the Stam Mishnah? Fundamental machlokes Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yehuda about the definition of muktza. So why would all the Stam Mishnayos and Shabbos assume one way, and all the Stam Mishnayos and Maseches Beitza assume the other way? And then in the middle of Amud Beis, we're going to get to the second of the four approaches about what exactly the machlokes, the first machlokes in our Mishnah is. Again, there are going to be four approaches. The first two in today's daf. The third one begins two lines from the end of the page. We probably won't get to that today. So that is what today's daf is going to be about. So let's begin again. The Beis Amud Aleph at the Mishnah says the Mishnah. If you have an egg that is laid on Yom Tov, Beishami says you can eat it that day. You can't eat it that day. You have to wait until the next day. Not let eat it on Yom Tov. A further machlokas Beishami Beisilol, unrelated seemingly. Beishami Yom Saor Bekazayis. Saor, which is a very intense form of chametz, it's a yeast that causes that not only is itself chametz, but it's machmitz other doughs. So one violates an iser and has a chiv to be mevarer on Pesach if it's a sheer kezayis. The chametz bekakoseves, and chametz, which is not as strict as sa'ar, only if it's a koseves, which is the size of a date, which is larger than a kezayis. Ubeisil omrim, but Beisil says, zevezeb kezayis. Both sa'ar and chametz have the same shear. The shear is a kezayis. Another issue, the third issue that they disagree about, hashochit chayev ha'ov, if a person shachts a chayev ha'ov, where there's a chiv of kisei adam, you shach the beim, you don't have to do kisei adam, but you shach the chayev ha'ov, afilu b'zman hazeh, we do kisei adam, when you shach the chayev ha'ov, b'yom tov. So let's say you shach the chayev ha'ov and yom tov, and you don't have dirt set aside for kisei adam. So what do? Beisham yomrim, yachpor b'deker v'yichaseh. Take a little shovel, dig some dirt up from the ground, and you could use that dirt for kisei adam. B'sil omrim, lo yishchot elim kein ha'ilo afer muchan mivo'od yom. No, don't shecht. If you know you're going to need dirt for kisei adam and you don't have dirt, then you can't shecht unless you have dirt that was already separate, that was already designated for the purpose of Kisei Adam from Erev Yom Tov, because you're not allowed to go digging on Yom Tov in order to be able to have dirt. But they both agree, even Beis Hillel agrees, that if you already did Shecht and now you are chayiv in the mitzvah of Kisei, so then you have to you could certainly dig with a shovel that was prepared for that reason, and it was no, it's Bekarkam Yibod Yom. The Gemara is going to explain, the Gemara makes a whole bunch of Mekimtas in that line, that if you have a shovel that was already in the ground Yibod Yom, so then you can dig with that shovel and be Mechasa the Dam, and you can also use Efer Kira, the ashes from the stove to cover the Dam, Shefer Kira Mukhanu. And the reason you're allowed to use Efer Kira is it's not considered Muktzah, it's considered designated, it's considered it's considered prepared for that purpose. So that is the Mishnah. Three basic machlokos between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, what the status is of Beis Shammai to Yom Tov, the shear of Sa'or, as far as the shear of Chametz, rather, whether it's Kosevis or Kezayis, and whether a person is allowed to shecht the chayiv ofen yom tov if he doesn't have afer muchan mi ba'od yom. Those are the three machlokas. So our entire daf is going to focus only on the first of those three machlokas. But first, the Meiri writes that the machlokas b'sham b'silal is the first machlokas about beit shnol de b'yom tov. The machlokas b'sham b'silal is not only about beit shnol de b'yom tov; it's also about beit shnol de b'shabbos. Shabbos is no different than yom tov as far as our mission is concerned. But since by Shabbos you're not allowed a shecht, you can't be matir beitza la achila, because it's yotze from a tarnagolas, which is itself mutzah. So it's not shaykh to be done when you have a cholamer of Shabbos, because we know that you have to shecht for him. You're going to have to shecht for him. Meaning, if the whole, what would be the case where you're talking about a tarnagolas that's omid la achila? The only way on Shabbos you can have a tarnagolas is omid la achila is you have a cholash yesh basakana. So we're going to have to make an ukimta that this cholash yesh basakana that you have to shecht. Well, we'd rather not make an ukimta about a case that's not at all shchiach. But that's how the Meiri writes that really it should have been about Beit Shol the Shabbos, but since on Shabbos you can't shecht, we can't be matir the Beit Shol Achila because it's not coming from an ochel. The Tarnagolas is not considered an ochel. The Tzlach writes a number of reasons that this machlokas is mentioned about Yom Tov and not about Shabbos, that are totally on the different reasons in the Gemara for the Tama Isra. According to Rav Nachman, since it's Dafka and Yom Tov that Rebbe is machmir like the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda who asers Mishum Mukza, so it has to write the machlokas Beisham Beisil Dafka Beyom Tov because Beisil is machmir and asers Mishum Mukza. We'll see according to Rabbah that the Beitza is also because of a lack of Hachana, which is me the second of the four explanations that we're going to have today, that Hachana is only on Shabbos. And Chum learned that on Yom Tov that Achana doesn't apply by the Isra Achana doesn't apply by Yom Tov. The Chum learned that on Yom Tov you require Achana, and there's therefore greater Chiddush in the Achana that we apply to Shabbos to apply it by Yom Tov as well. Now, as far as the shear of a koseves that we said for chametz, so Rashi writes that the din in our Mishnah is mentioned in our Mishnah, even though we're not learning Pesachim now, we're learning Beitza now. Well, how does that din sneak its way into our Mishnah? So he says, because there are three dinim about Yom Tov, that Beis Shammai is Mekel and Beis Hillel is Machmir, so all three dinim are taught together, because this is one of the dinim about where Beis Shammai is more Mekel. He gives you a bigger shear for chametz, so that's more Mekel, and Beis Hillel is more Machmir. So Tzach raises the question, the first din of Beitza and the third din of Shochi Chai Va'of apply by every Yom Tov, whereas the shear chametz is only Shaykh on Pesach. The Mishnah should have written the dinim that apply to Yom Tov, and then even if you want to include all three dinim, I get you want to include all three because they all have something in common, that Beis Shammai is Mekel, Beis Hillel is Machmir, and they all relate to Yom Tov, but at least have the first two about Yom Tov in general, and have the same for the third one about Pesach. So the Tzach works on that issue, and he suggests that according to Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, that we're going to see on Daf Tesam and Beis, that switches changes the girsa of the Mishnah about Shochir Chaya of Of B'Yom Tov and Beishameh's Machmir, Beisil's Mekil. So that's why the Tana wants to mention the Shir Chametz next to the Din of Beitz, Shnal the B'Yom Tov, because according to that girsa, those are the only two cases where Beishameh is actually Mekil and Beisil is Machmir. The third Din, he flips it around, so then it's going to be Beishameh's Machmir, so that's not going to fit the pattern of the other two. So if you say like that, then certainly, or suggest the Sach, the Tana wants to juxtapose the din of Shochir Chayev Ha'Of to the dinim in the coming Mishnayos that are going to discuss Hachanos for Shechita by Netilas Asulim, Netilas Hayonim and Hashovach. So we're going to discuss other things that relate to Hachanos, so that's for Shechita, so that's why we have Shochir Chayev Ha'Of B'Yom Tov, because thematically it fits better with the upcoming Mishnayos. So you're right, in this Mishnah it seems a little off that halacha should be last, but if you have to look at the whole parak of Mishnayos, and if you look at the whole parak of Mishnayos, you'll see that it fits very, very, very nicely. Okay, so let's see the Gemara. I don't want to run out of time here. So, b'mayaskina, what exactly is the case that we're talking about in our Mishnah? What kind of tarnegolas are we talking about where we have a beit shnol to b'yom tov and there's a machlokas whether the egg is okay to use or not? If the chicken is meant to be eaten, meaning you're supposed to shechter in yom tov, you're allowed to shechter in yom tov, so the assumption is that you're going to shechter in yom tov to have it for a yom tov meal. Why would anyone ask for such a beitza? It's food that comes from other food. The whole chicken is food. The egg is food. So why would it be a problem? You're allowed to, if you have a piece of chicken in front of you, of shechted, cooked, and everything, you know, regular chicken, what we would call a piece of chicken in front of you, you're allowed to cut a little piece off and put it into it. You're allowed to take food off of food. What would be the problem of having an egg that comes out of food? So Ella Batarangol Samez Gadal Beitzim. No, maybe this chicken is not meant to be used for eating. It's meant to be Megadal Beitzim. It's not meant for Shechita. So then, why would Beishamai allow such an egg to be achila? Muktzehi. That egg is Muktzah. It came out of the Tarnagolas that it itself is Muktzah. It's not Omedes Achila. So the egg absolutely should be Muktzah. So says Mara, my question, why does that bother us so much? How could Beishamai be Matir? Dilma Beishamai, less little Muktzah. Maybe Beishamai holds like the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, who has a very, very limited view of Muktzah, and holds that almost nothing is Muktzah. That just like Rabbi Shimon is Matir, the Moser HaShemen Shebener, the Brisa Masech HaShabbos, that the Moser HaShemen Shebener V'Shebekara, the Brisa says, Asper Rabbi Shimon Matir, and the Gemara explains, because Rabbi Shimon does not hold of the Itzer of Muktzah, the Bar Plukta of Rabbi Shimon is Rabbi Yehuda, but Rabbi Shimon does not hold of the Isra of Muktzah, so maybe Beishamai assumes like that Shita. So the Gemara explains why it's not so simple to just say Beishamai holds like Rabbi Shimon, and therefore we have no kasha. Because even if Beishamai does not hold of Muktzah, still it would be difficult to understand how they could have been matir to eat an egg that was nolad from a tarnegolas that's not omed deslachila. Because kasal kadaitan afilu man deshori b'muktzah bin nolad asr. We keep saying Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold the Muktzah. What does it mean doesn't hold the Muktzah? It means he has a more limited view of Muktzah, but there's such a concept called Muktzah. It's just that the assumption of the Makshin is that even if you don't hold of the broad definitions of Muktzah that we have, but Nolad is definitely Muktzah, something that just came into existence for the first time in the middle of Shabbos, in the middle of Yom Tov, even Rabbi Shimon would hold that such a thing is Muktzah. So where Rabbi Shimon holds is no, that Muktzah, you're not Maksimidaito, you don't put it out of your mind, but Nolad, which didn't exist, a person doesn't even know to have his Das on such a thing. And therefore, it's going to be Asr because it didn't even exist. So, therefore, the question still stands that if we're talking about a Tarnagolas, that's a Medes Gadol Beitzim, my Tamei de Beishamai. Why would Beishamai say that it's Mutter? It should be Nolad. And even if you don't hold the Muktzah, at least you hold the Nolad. So, the Gemara has four approaches how to understand our Mishnah. Approach number one. Amar Rav Nachman li olam b'tarnagolas hamedes l'gadol beitzim. That really we're talking about a tarnagolas that is not meant to be eaten, it's meant only to lay eggs. And therefore, it should be a problem of nolad. Ude isle muksa isle nolad. Ude lasle muksa lasle nolad. But our assumption that everyone thinks nolad is a problem, that's where the flaw in the logic was. That no, not everyone agrees nolad is a problem. If you hold muktzah is a problem, you hold nolad is a problem. If you don't hold muktzah is a problem, then you don't hold nolad is a problem. And therefore, Beishamai could easily be matir, because just like Beishamai holds like Rabbi Shimon about muktzah, they're also makil on nolad. So Beishamai ki Rabbi Shimon u Beisilel ki Rabbi Yehuda. Beishamai holds like Rabbi Shimon that does not hold the muktzah, does not think there's a problem of muktzah, and therefore it's muktzah, and Beisilel holds like Rabbi Yehuda, who does think that there's a problem of muktzah and therefore no lad, and holds that it's asr. So ask the Gemara, Umiyam Rav Nachman Hachi, but does Rav Nachman really say such a thing? Which thing? So we're going to see what he attacks is that Beis Hillel holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that Beis Hillel holds like Rabbi Yehuda's stricter definition of muktzah. That's how Rashi writes. He doesn't say it as a kasha from Beis Shammai and Beis Shammai, because Beis Shammai, you could answer, we could answer the kasha we're about to ask with a chilik between Shabbos, which is more chamer, and Yom Tov, which is less chamer. That only on Shabbos maybe there's nisra muktzah, but not on Yom Tov. So the real question is, does Beis Hillel really hold like Rabbi Yehuda, who has the stricter definition of muktzah, v'atnan? But doesn't the Mishnah tell us in Masechta Shabbos that Beis Shammai Omer Magbi Yimei Al Shulchan Atzamos Uklipin? Beis Shammai holds that you can lift the actual bones and shells that are not roi lachila off of your table, and there's no sort of muktzah in lifting those bones and those shells. Beis Hillel says that no, you're not allowed to pick up the bones and the shells themselves. You have to pick up the entire tray that they're sitting on, and that's because that's a kli, and that's not muktzah. And then umenara, and then you shake off the bones and shells into the garbage can or something. But you're not allowed to handle them directly. V'amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman comments on that Mishnah. Anu ein lanu ella beishamek Rabbi Yehuda beisilik Rabbi Shimon, that we have a girsa in the Mishnah that beishamek is machmir and asr is being metaltal the atzamos and holds like Rabbi Yehuda, and beisilal who are matzir to be metaltal them holds like Rabbi Shimon because he's more makil on the issue of muktzah. So Rav Nachman in our sugya is so ser Rav Nachman in Masechta Shabbos, because the first mahalik in our Mishnah was Rav Nachman that how do we explain the machlokes beishamek beisilal that Beis Shammai holds like Rabbi Shimon and Beis Hillel holds like Rabbi Yehuda. It's Rav Nachman talking. And yet, in Masechta Shabbos, while we had a Mishnah that seemed to fit that way, Rav Nachman flipped it around. Rav Nachman is the one that came and said that no, that Beis Shammai holds like Rabbi Yehuda and Beis Hillel holds like Rabbi Shimon. So it's a stira in Rav Nachman in terms of what his approach. Excuse me. In terms of what his approach is when it comes to. When it comes to that Mishnah, so the question that the Rishonim asks, just stam on that Mishnah, is that we're assuming that if there is a muktzah problem, the easy way to solve the problem, just pick up the tray. And if you pick up the tray, then it's not going to be a muktzah problem. Why does that make it any better? It doesn't. The tray become a basas l'davar ha'asr. The Gemara Masechta Shabbos tells us that a basas l'davar ha'asr is asr as well. That if something is serving as a basis for that which is muktzah, then it itself becomes muktzah. So there's several approaches in the Rishonim. The Rashi writes that only something that has chashivos makes the thing that it's on a bas l'davar ha'asr. But atzamos u'klipin have no chashivos whatsoever, and therefore they won't turn the tray that they're on into a bas l'davar ha'asr. The Rashi further writes that you could be metalta the tavla midim graf shel rayi. If you have something that's disgusting, you're allowed to be motzi the psolas outside. So if you take a garbage can that's full and smelly, you're allowed to remove it from your home on Shabbos, and that does not have a din of buses. So maybe with the atzamos and the klipin, it's like a graf shel ra'i. Furthermore, the Ramban and the Rashba write that since you put it there so that it will be easy to remove by just removing the tavla, so the shulchan does not become a basis. Because when you put the atzamos on the tavla, it was in order to be able to remove them. It was not in order to place them there that they should remain there. So basis means something that is serving as the foundation, as the base of what where you wanted this item to be. But over here, that's the whole goof of the point of putting it there is so you can get rid of the atzamos klipin, and maybe in such a situation it won't be a basis. So several approaches that you find in the Rishonim. There are more approaches as well, but several approaches that you find in the Rishonim. Why is it that the tavla is not a basis? But back to our Gemara, our question is that we have a stira in Rav Nachman. Is it Beis Shammai that holds like Rabbi Shimon and Beis Hillel holds like Rabbi Yehuda, like Rav Nachman argues over here in explaining our Mishnah, or is it the reverse, that Beis Shammai holds like Rabbi Yehuda and Beis Hillel holds like Rabbi Shimon, like Rav Nachman says in Masechta Shabbos? So says Mar Amalach, Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman will say there is no stira. Gabe Shabbos to Sosam Lantan like Rabbi Shimon. When it comes to Muktzah on Shabbos, where we find Stam Mishnayos like Rabbi Shimon, who's more Mekel on Muktzah, Ditnan Mechatchenes Adlun Lufnei Abeima. The Mishnah Masechta Shabbos says you're allowed to cut gourds in front of an animal to feed it. Vesa Nevela Lufnei Aklavim, and you can cut a Nevela on Shabbos that died, an animal died on Shabbos in front of dogs in order to feed the dogs. even though when Shabbos started it was not food, it was not designated as dog food, it was a live animal when Shabbos started, it's mutter to do that. That's clearly like Rabbi Shimon, who doesn't know the muksa. The animal dropped dead on Shabbos, so it wasn't mucha miba'od yom as dog food. So it's for sure muksa. But nevertheless, we say you're allowed to do it. Why? Because we're assuming like Rabbi Shimon. So mokim la, so that's why Rabbi Nachman wanted to say that the Mishnah of Atzamos Uklipin lebeis hillel Rabbi Shimon. He wanted to align beis hillel Rabbi Shimon's shita in Masechet Shabbos, because in Masechet Shabbos Rabbi Shimon's shita is always the default. So he changes the gears in the Mishnah in order that Rabbi Shimon should reflect the shita beis hillel, since we always paskin like beis hillel. Aval, but when gabe yom tov, when it comes to yom tov, the sasam lantana Rabbi Yehuda, where we assume Stam Mishnayis are like Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to Yom Tov, who asks Muktzah? Where do we see that Stam Mishnayis are like Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to Yom Tov? Ditnan. Ein mevakim etzim min hakoros v'lo min hakoros nishma b'yom tov. You're not allowed to take off pieces of wood from beams that are set aside, one on the other on the ground, in order to by a construction site, before they put everything together, they lay out all the beams on the ground. So you're not allowed to take some pieces of wood from there in order to use it as firewood, and nor min hakoros nishma b'yom tov, even after it broke and it's no longer ra'oi to use for building, and the only thing you can use it for is firewood. You're still not allowed to take it for firewood, because when the day started, it wasn't yet omade for firewood, so it was muktza, even though it broke, but it broke on Shabbos, it broke on Yom Tov. So since it broke on Yom Tov, it's considered to be muktza. So mokum lebeisil Rabbi Yehuda, that's a sta mishnah that assumes like Rabbi Yehuda a very expansive definition of muktza, that if the beam breaks on Yom Tov, now it's going to be muktza. Rabbi Shimon wouldn't say that it's muktza. So you have a sta mishnah in Maseches Yom Tov and Maseches Beitza that relates to, that assumes like the stricter definition of muktza, and therefore, since Stam Mishnayis and Beitza assume the stricter definition of muktza, Rav Nachman works to try to align Beis Hillel with that shita, with the shita that the Stam Mishnayis follow. So Michti Man Sasme, which is such so interesting. I mean, the whole thing sounds like it's all a gape. What did Beis Hillel really hold? Did Beis Hillel really hold like Rabbi Yehuda, or really hold like Rabbi Shimon? It sounds like he's setting it up in a way where we should at least know, we should at least learn the Mishnayos in a consistent way, even if we're not going to be able to derive the halacha from there. So that's it's an unusual thing. I didn't see. The Gemara explains now. Michti man sasme lemasnisin, Rabbi, who made all the Stam Mishnayos? Why are the Stam Mishnayos set up in such a way? Rabbi is the one that decided which Mishnayos would be taught Stam without a name attached to them. So Mishnah b'Shabbos the sasme l'Kribishim, Mishnah b'Yom Tov the sasme l'Kribiyuda. Why did Rabbi set it up in such a way that on Shabbos in Maseches Shabbos all the Stam Mishnayos follow Rabbi Shimon, that it was very makel and muktza, and in Maseches Yom Tov and Maseches Beitza all the Stam Mishnayos follow Rabbi Yehuda, who's very machmir in Hilchos Muktza. So Amri Shabbos the Chamira, so he explains Shabbos, which is inherently more chamur, because you're not allowed to do ochel nefesh melachos on Shabbos, and so we know that if we were makel in the din of muktza, lo asil zilzulei bei, people are not going to be mezalzel on Shabbos and take additional leniencies, because they know that Shabbos is a very chamur dika inyan. So sasam lan Rabbi Shimon to makel, and therefore he can write the stam mishnayos like Rabbi Shimon. You follow Rabbi Shimon's view, we can be makel like that, and we don't have to worry that you're going to come to violate other areas of Shabbos, because people take Shabbos very seriously already. But Yom Tov Tekil, the Yom Tov which is more kal, meaning people treat it more lightly, because after all they see that they're allowed to cook on Yom Tov, they're allowed to shecht on Yom Tov, they're allowed to do all sorts of ochel nefesh melachos on Yom Tov. Vasil Zazulei Bei. So if we throw in other kulas, we follow the more lenient view on muktza, then they're going to be mezalzel in all the real melachos of Yom Tov. So sasam lan Rabbi Yehuda de machmir. That's why we follow Stam. The Stam Mishnayos follow Rabbi Yehuda, who's more machmir on the Indian of muktza. Meaning, really, mikra din, just like muktza on Shabbos, also muktza on Yom Tov. Yom Tov is not really more chamer than Shabbos. The Shabbos themselves equated the dinim of Shabbos and Yom Tov as far as it's concerned. But the Tana's paskening to be machmir and Yom Tov in order not to be mezalzel. So it sounds like that's how the Rashba writes. So it sounds like we're setting Beisham and Beis Hillel are consistent. We're setting it up that Beis Hillel is inconsistent. Rav Nachman sets it up to make Beis Hillel sound inconsistent because he's trying to tell us how to pasken, because he knew that Rebbe intuited that we should pasken. paskin l'chumra on Yom Tov and l'kula on Shabbos. You're allowed to do that. You're allowed to say that Basil said something that they didn't say in order to encourage us to paskin halacha. So it sounds like something you should not be allowed to do. Magen Avraham writes in Shulchan Aruch that you are allowed to do that. Very limited. We probably shouldn't go around doing that. So meaning, but the Magen Avraham says if you know that something is a correct halacha, but people aren't going to listen to you, why would anyone listen to me? So you're allowed to say that, oh, a great person said it. You can be told to be Bilam Gadol, even if the great person didn't say it, because it's the correct halacha, and that's the way to get the point, to get people to listen. Again, we should use that very, very sparingly, because if we're convinced that it's the correct halacha, why didn't the great person say it? Maybe it's not 100% agreed upon that that's the correct halacha. But anyway, so that's what's going on with Rav Nachman over here, that he's following the order of the Stam Mishnayos, and Stam Mishnayos, Rebbe had a reason to make the Stam Mishnayos one way in Shabbos and one way in Beitza. So now the Gemara asks on Rav Nachman's understanding that the whole machlokas is about muksa b'mayukim to patarnagolus al medes gadol beitzim. We said our Mishnah is talking about a tarnagolus that's not meant to be eaten; it's meant just to be megadol beitzim. Umishum muksa. The machlokas b'shem b'isil is about muksa. Ihach yad miflugu beitzim miflugu patarnagolus. So why are they arguing about an egg that the tarnagolus lays? Why don't they just argue about the tarnagolus itself that's al medes gadol beitzim? And then you decide in the middle of the yontif that you want to shecht it. So b'shem is more makel by muksa and yomtov, it should be mutter according to Basila, who asked was muksa on Yom Tov, it should be asur, because when Yom Tov started, it was not omed asachila. So why does the Mishnah have to bring the machlokas about the egg that comes out of the tarnagolas? It could be about the tarnagolas itself. So answers the Gemara, you know, even the tarnagolas itself would be machlokas b'sham b'silal. The reason we talk about the egg is l'diach l'kochan d'b'shamay, to let you know just how mekel b'shamay is. D'b'nolad shari, that not only are they mekel muktzah, they'd even be mekel nolad. The chicken was not nolad. The chicken is muktzah, because it wasn't designated to be eaten before Yom Tov. The egg that it lays, that's nolad. So ask Gemara, v'lefluge b'tarnagolas l'diach l'kochan b'silal, d'b'muktzah asri, why don't you have the machlokas about the Tarnagolas, and you could show just how strict Beis Hillel is. That Beis Hillel is not only machmir by Nola, they're even machmir by Muksa. So maybe you're going to say, no, we'd rather highlight the Shita Beis Shammai to highlight the Koch Te'atera, because it's a bigger deal to be Matir. So because the Matir needs to be more convinced of his argument. It's very easy to be machmir. To be machmir, you could do even if you're a Masupuk. But still, the Niflug B'Tarvayu, at least argue about both of them. Argue about the Tarnagolas and the Beitzim. So it says, "Gemara, Tarnagol, so I'm going to Beitzim. He who Beitzasa Beishami Yom Teachol Beisul Lomrim Lote." I'm sorry, and that's part of the so, and the way to argue B'Tarvayu is just phrase it as follows: Tarnagol, so I'm going to Gadol Beitzim. If you have a Tarnagol, so I'm going to Gadol Beitzim. He who Beitzasa Beishami Omrim Teachol Beisul Lomrim Lote Teachol. Beishami says you can eat, Beisul says you can't eat. Why do we have to lock it in that we're only arguing about the Beitza? You can argue about both of them, even though the Beitza is called if you could still have machlokes about both. So based on this, the Gemara says, you know what? A second interpretation of our Mishnah. They're not arguing about muktza. We're talking about a tarnagolas that is not muktza. It was designated to be eaten. Achara Shabbos Haskina. No, the Ukimta to make is we're talking about a Yomta that falls out the day after Shabbos. It falls out on Sunday. Umishum Hachana. The reason Basil asked this Beitza was because it was prepared on Shabbos inside the chicken's body, for inside the hen's body, for the next day, because Sava Rabba and Rabba holds that the Isser is Hachana called Beitza de Mesialda Inna, any Beitza that's laid today, may etmol gamrala. It was completed the previous day. So if you eat that Beitza on Yom Tov, it turns out that the food you're eating on Yom Tov was prepared on Shabbos. V'Rabba L'Tameh, and this Rabba who asks Hachana from Shabbos to Yom Tov, even with the Hachana that happens Bidei Shamayim, no human being prepared it, Hashem made that happen. That's L'Shitasa, Dam Rabba, Ma'idach Siv, Vayab Yom Hashishi. In the Parsha Saman, the pasuk is not talking about hachana b'yadayim. It's not talking about cooking and baking. That already says about cooking and baking. So the Torah is telling us to do a hazmana b'peh, to prepare everything mibo'od yom, that this is what I'm going to eat on Shabbos. Chol meichel l'Shabbos. On a weekday, you can prepare for Shabbos. Chol meichel l'yom tov. And on a weekday, you prepare for yom tov. But vein yom tov meichel l'Shabbos, vein Shabbos meichel l'yom tov. Tov. But Yom Tov should not prepare for Shabbos, nor should Shabbos prepare for Yom Tov, because it says Beyom Hashishi, Stam Yom Hashishi is a weekday. So the Achana has to be on a Yom Chol for Shabbos. Amalei Abayis, Abayis says El Me'ata, Yom Tov Bialma Tishturi. So in a regular Yom Tov, which is not following Shabbos, a Beit Shenolda should be mutter. And the Din in the Mishnah just says that a Beit Shenolda be Yom Tov is Aser. So how can you say that it's only Aser when Yom Tov falls out after Shabbos? So Rabbi answers, the reason it's Aser in every Yom Tov, Gzerim Mishum Yom Tov Acher Shabbos. That's all a Gzera. Lest you come to be Mekel on a Yom Tov that falls out on a Sunday, we're machmer in all Yom Tov. Shabbos the Alma Tishri, but a Shabbos that does not come after Yom Tov, Beitzer Shnol Deba should be mutter. So he says, no, Gzer Mishum Shabbos Acher Yom Tov, where goes a regular Shabbos, Atu a Shabbos that comes after Yom Tov. Umigaz Rina, do we find that we make a Gzera because of the din of Hachana to Aser a Beitzer that doesn't have, that's not subject to Hachana? Vatanya, Shochet is Tarnagonal, Smotzeba Beitzim Gemuros. If you shack the chicken on Yom Tov and you find Beitzim inside, Mutar Slachim be Yom Tov, you're allowed to eat them on Yom Tov, even if it falls after Shabbos via Misa. But if that's true, that we were gozer on such a thing, we were gozer, and even that which was mutter, Mishum the Yisr, Ligzer, we should have asked those Beitzim that you find inside the animal, Mishum Hanach, because of the Beitzim the Misyaldim the Omeyan. Because of the Beitzim that are Nolan on Yom Tov, that we should make a Gzeira of the Beitzim inside the animal, or to the Beitzim that are outside the animal. So Amalei, so Rabbi said, to find Beitzim Gemuros inside the mother, that's a Milsa L'Shchicha. We don't make a Gzeira on a Milsa L'Shchicha, but to make a Gzeira of one day to another day, that we will make such a Gzeira. Okay, B'Shem, we'll pick up with the third approach tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.